I woke some of y'all up a little bit. And some of the rest of you, wait a second, that's too much of a beat. Guess what? Your best days are now. This is what we're talking about. I want you to grab your Bible. We're going to look at a passage of scripture here in just a moment in John chapter 2. But I want you to kind of think about this moment, okay? How many of you are here in this moment? Put your hand up. Okay, the rest of you are like, what did he ask? Wait, what did he say? How many of you are here in this moment right now? You're here, hand up. Okay, all right, a lot of you. If you're watching online, just put your hand up on the couch. That's cool, all right? But more important, I want you to kind of think about this. Not just here in the building or not just here watching online, not just like right now. I want you to kind of think with me. Take a moment before we look at this passage of scripture and think about this. We have the freedom to gather in a room like this, in a building like this, with online capabilities of shooting this into homes all over the place. Hundreds of people watching in their homes throughout this week. They'll be watching this message. And you have the opportunity to be here physically. They have the opportunity to watch online. And as a disciple of Jesus, listen to this. As a disciple of Jesus, we have the opportunity and the freedom to get our Bibles and to feed on the Word of God, the living and active Word of God, the Word of God that He left for us to grow in Him and to learn about Him and to be drawn closer to Him and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, to us through His Word. We have this living Word of God. And so we have the opportunity to stand in the presence of God, the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, who is there, who leads, who guides, who guided the writing of Scripture. And we have the same Holy Spirit in this moment to listen to. It's not me. I know some of you are like, well, I don't want to listen to you. Well, listen to the Holy Spirit through the preaching of His Word and look at His Scripture and see what God is trying to tell you. We have the opportunity in this moment, in these next few moments, to worship the Lamb of God who was slain, to point our heart's attention to Him and to put all else aside. This Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who left us this love letter so that we know how to live and how to go through our life. We have the moments to sit here and in this moment point our heart to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit reveal things to us and show us and draw us close to Him. We have this moment. And yet from the time I asked you how many of you were here until now, some of you are like me and you started thinking about, well, this moment I'm here, but man, where are we going to go eat in a little bit? And what is that thing that I got to do this week? And I think I've got a doctor's appointment on Thursday, and our minds go to other moments. So I wonder if we were to focus in and really say, God, I welcome you into this moment. God, I want your Holy Spirit to speak to me in a very clear way. I wonder if we put stuff aside and just said, I know I've got this to worry about tomorrow, and I've got this at my job to think about, and I've got this personal struggle that I'm dealing with, and this family thing that I'm dealing with, and this financial stuff. If we just, in this moment, pointed our heart's attention to the Lord and said, God, I want you to show me. Speak to me through your words. Speak to me through this message. Draw me close to you that I would, in this moment, just point my heart's attention to you. Instead of being distracted by every other thing. And unfortunately, a lot of times we get caught up thinking about other things. I went to the DMV one time to take my test, take a driver's test as a teenager. I can still remember this. And the person that I had to go to do the driving with, this was years ago, and the person's probably not alive anymore. I'll just be honest with you on that. So I'm not worried that she's going to see this. But I remember as a teenager in Alaska, all right, Fairbanks, Alaska, we went there. My dad or my parents took me there to get my driver's test. And this lady was a rugged, I mean, she was the epitome of mountain man, all right? I'm sorry. She had full beard, she had mustache, and I mean, and it wasn't intentional. Like, I think she just forgot to shave that day. But like, I'm not, all right, I'm sorry. Step back. I was nervous going in, all right? As a teenager, I want to get my license. I want to be able to drive. I got this car. And then I went in, and then she was just really mean, all right? She had a mean face. She was angry. She was, barking commands at me. And I remember just looking back at that going, well, like, I wish that she would just be a little nicer about it. Like, you could have just been nice in this moment. I don't remember where I was going with that. That was terrible. This dear DMV lady ruined my experience. The moment that could have been this really cool moment of like, yay, I get to drive this really cool car and have this license, was ruined by this experience of this person who got me off track from seeing and doing what I needed to do. She was telling me to do stuff, and I was just so nervous that she was gonna bite my ear off while I'm driving that I was just worried and nervous and didn't know how to handle things. In the moments in life, we can get so sidetracked and so lost in that, like what just happened. We can lose our train of thought. In a service like this, where God's trying to get a hold of you, God's trying to get your attention, the Holy Spirit's trying to draw you to something, to surrender to something, to follow him. Maybe you're here, you're watching online, you're not a Christian. Today is the moment, today is the day of salvation where the Holy Spirit's drawing you and saying, hey, I want you to accept this gift of salvation I've provided for you. And maybe you're a Christian who's been a Christian for a long time and you've been distracted by all the other stuff and you're frustrated about this and wish this was better. And maybe today the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention and say, hey, I just want you to live for me now. I just want you to take this step for me and follow me. Live in this moment now. So this service, this is kind of this pivotal point right here. That if our best days are now, that the Holy Spirit wants to show you something today, here, now, in this time. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you're listening, at least for now. And I want you to look in a passage of scripture in John chapter 2. When you find John chapter 2, I'll get you to stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to do so. But in John chapter 2, there's a verse, it's the first sign turning the water into the wine. This is Jesus' first sign. We see here in John chapter 2, it's a wedding that's going on, and they run out of wine, and Jesus' mother is there. Verse number 2 says this: Jesus and his disciples were invited to this wedding. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, "They don't have any wine." "What does that have to do with me, with you and me, woman?" Jesus asked. "My hour has not yet come." Verse 5: "Do whatever he tells you," his mother told the servants. Now 6 stone water jars had been set there for Jewish purification, and each contained 20 or 30 gallons. Look with the next part, verse 7. "Fill the jars with water," Jesus told them. So they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the head waiter." And they did. Verse 9. When the head waiter tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the groom and told him, "Everyone sets out the fine wine first, then after people are drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the fine wine until now." Let's pause and pray for a moment. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the direction that you give us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit and his convicting power. I pray that today, God, if there are those in this room, those watching online that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today they would come to a saving knowledge of you. I pray for Christians who need to make some changes and draw closer to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict like only you can, and that we would surrender and follow your way. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The last part there, the water turned to wine, and these big jugs that he told them to go and fill them up, and he fills them up, and then the confusion there of you're supposed to give the good stuff at the beginning, and then once they're drunk, that doesn't matter, right? And he tells them here at the end, you've kept the fine wine until now. Your best days are now. He saved the best for last. I want you to think with me today, because there's a lot of times where I think we focus on other things other than now. We think about things that happened in the past or things that we struggled with, and that either holds us back or it changes our trajectory of where we're going. And we think about where we want to be in the future, and I want to accomplish this, and I want to be here, and I want this to happen. And a lot of times we're in those two places, and we're never in the moment. We're never now. What is God doing now? What is God saying to me now? What is he drawing me to? What am I supposed to surrender to today? How can I follow him now? He says, you've saved the best until now. I wonder if you think about your spiritual journey, your life as a follower in Christ, is the best now? Are you living the best you possibly can now? I can think back to times in my life and churches I've been a part of and things that I've seen happen, and I go, well, these were great things and these were awesome accomplishments, and this God was doing some really good things then. And then I think about sitting in my office and praying about direction and what is it that God has for us in our future here at First Baptist, and what about my own spiritual journey? What about things that I want to accomplish and things that I want to see happen in my lifetime? And I catch my own self grabbing hold of different things. When right here in this moment, I believe God has us here for a reason. He has you here for a purpose and for a reason. You're here, you're watching online for a purpose today, and your best day is now. The Holy Spirit can draw you to this point of surrender. And maybe as you sit here, you're thinking, you know what? I know exactly what it is. And maybe not. Maybe you've been so focused on things that in the past, the things that happened in the future, or you've been so sidetracked that you're not really fully present and listening to what the Spirit of God is telling you. I've been caught in this moment a lot of times, thinking to myself, well, man, back when this happened, those were good days. Back when this was there, man, this was awesome, and God was moving, and it was great. It's always the back in my day, back in those days, back when this was this way. And there's a lot of times in Scripture where we're pointed to live in the now, to live our moments for God's glory, the way that Jesus lived. One of the most striking qualities, I believe, as I read about Jesus and his ministry and as the things that he accomplished here on this earth, was the fact that he was fully present. Over and over, we talked about this the last couple of weeks, but Jesus, he was fully present. If he was talking to you, he was talking to you. If he was in that moment, he was there in that moment. It wasn't like, oh, I've got to go and accomplish this task. I've got to go and bring this person back from the dead. You're distracting me from what I'm supposed to be doing. No, he always was fully present in that moment. Fully present, looking and accomplishing and following the will of his Father. And there's some time in the Scripture, it talks about Jesus walking to Jericho, large crowds surrounding him, and the blind beggar Bartimaeus comes and is distracting him, and his disciples get mad, and they're like, hey, like, stop bothering him. And Jesus, fully present, cared about the man. He's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, have mercy on me. And the disciples trying to shut him up, and he's, mercy on me. And Jesus is like, hey, what do you want me to do? I'll accomplish that. I'll take the time to be present in this moment. Wonder if today, if Jesus was physically present, looking you straight in the eye, and he sat down right in front of you right now in your house or in this room, and he just looked you eye to eye, knee to knee, and said, what do you want me to do? I wonder what our response would be. I wonder if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and if he looked you in the eye and said, hey, what do you want me to accomplish? What is it that you're going for? If we would first off say, well, remember when you did all these things, or man, I'd love for this to happen. I wonder if in this moment we just pointed our heart to God and said, God, I want to stop for you, and I want you to show me how I can be fully present in this moment. Not think about things past or things to come, but I just focus on you in this moment and in my life, and how can I allow you to use me for your honor and for your glory? In Luke chapter 19, talking about Zacchaeus. A wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Nobody liked him, right? Tax collector. Luke 19, 1 and 2, Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through. A man there by name of Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, very wealthy. had been robbing people, taking money off the top, was a bad man. Nobody liked him because, shoot, he was taking our money. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm coming to your house. I'm going to go over there and we're going to have a party. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk. And God gets a hold of Zacchaeus, this corrupt tax man. Jesus calls him by name. And there's a change that happens. He gives half of his possessions to the poor. He pays back four times the amount what he had cheated people. Today, salvation has come to your house. I wonder if you think about getting back on track and following back to what God has for you and what present in this moment, what is God saying to you? Jesus was always present in the moment. And I wonder if we think today, maybe in a different term of just, God, what is it that you're trying to tell me today? I want to be like you today. I want you to show me what one thing or what thing is out of place that I've misused or that I've looked at a different way. Or maybe today, God, you would just reinvigorate me to follow you with everything that I have. It's so easy to get distracted. I read this week. It says, complaining today about moments we'll miss tomorrow. And as a dad, as a pastor, as a person, I got to thinking about that. We complain a lot about things today that we'll miss tomorrow. It was just yesterday that my teenagers were crying and I had to hold them both and sit on a recliner and one on either arm and rock them to sleep. And I think, man, how 15 years have gone by like that. That I complain about, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I don't know. Anybody can relate to this? That we complain in a moment and it's gone like that. A Harvard study shows that 47% of the time, our mind isn't where our feet are. Let that one sink in for a second. 47% of the time, our mind is not where our feet are. So the chances are, a lot of you who raised your hand in the beginning of this message and said, I'm here, I'm physically present in the room, your mind is not really present thinking about what I'm talking about right now because time has passed. 47% of the time, our mind goes to stupid things. Average cell phone user, listen to this. The average cell phone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. That's the average cell phone user. All right, that's not teenagers, all right? 2,600 times we touch our phones, just touching them, 2,600 times. The extreme users, so now we're talking teenagers, are in the top 10%, and they touch their phones, listen, 5,400 times a day, in one day. How can you focus on anything thinking about touching your phone and looking and being distracted physically and mentally and what you're looking at? Like, 5,400 times, wasting our time and our minds are so jumped from one thing to the next. No wonder we can't wait 30 seconds at a drive-through before we're aggravated and frustrated going, give me my food, this is fast food, right? Like our minds can't comprehend this stopping and focusing in on one thing just for a little while. How many of you have ever been in a grocery store line? You're waiting to check out and you're standing there with your grocery stuff and what do you do? Anybody do this? I'm the only one. Yeah, right. I look. I see everybody doing it. I mean, I see people at stoplights that pull it out and are driving, stopped at the stoplight, looking at the phone. There was actually somebody we were driving yesterday that was driving and had the phone up. Like we had to, our minds are so confused. I wonder if you think about this. Living in this moment, thinking about the Holy Spirit speaking to you in this moment. Over and over in my life, I can think about times in my head where I said, when this is over, I'm gonna be so happy. Like when I finish high school, then my life is going to be, this is going to be awesome. I cannot wait to be done with school and tests and all these problems. Man, I just can't wait. When this happens, then I'm going to, man, that's going to be awesome. And I remember when I'm in college and thinking, man, once I finish my final exam, when this is over, man, I can't wait until this happens. When I get married, oh, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait till I'm married and then life is going to be awesome, right? And then married. And then, man, when we have kids, it's going to just be great. I can't wait until we have kids. It's going to be awesome. And then we have kids and we think, what was I thinking? No, you think, man, I have kids. This is amazing. Blessing of God is awesome. I can't wait until they grow up. And then I can't wait until they can walk. And then they walk. And I can't wait until they talk. Then I want them to shut up. And then it's like, oh, I love you guys. This is awesome. But I can't wait until you're grown. And then I'm driving them everywhere. I'm thinking, man, I can't wait until they get their license so that they can drive themselves where they want to go. And then they get that, and then they're gone. And go, man, I can't wait until they come home from college and I get to see them a little bit. And then I can't wait until they graduate. I can't wait until this job changes. I can't wait until this, I can't wait until I retire. And then I can't wait until I get retirement. And now I can't wait until I find something to do in retirement. And then, you see how this happened? We wish away our lives thinking, I can't wait, and then I gotta look and think about what's gonna be next. And we look back with regret, wondering, where did this time go? Well, we wish it all away. We wish this would happen. I wish this would pass. I wish we could just get to the next stage. And we fly through these stages and we go through life wishing away this current moment. And I wonder, and I wish I could just get your attention for a second to look me in the eye and just think about, what is this moment for you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What does he want to do with your heart and your life? In this moment, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter the things that you've accomplished. It doesn't matter the things that you've been dreaming about. What is it in this moment that the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention and say to you? What is he trying to say? Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. He's saying, hey, I know you. I want you to know me. Hey, I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. And you can ask me to forgive me of my sins. And I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I want to accept your gift of salvation. And in this moment, listen, in this moment, you can accept Jesus. It doesn't have to come at the invitation right now. You can, from your heart to God, cry out to him in your heart, say, God, I accept you as my Savior. I believe in you. I put my faith and trust in you. And in this moment, if you're watching online, you're sitting in this room and you've never done that, right now, you go from death to life. You go from lost to found. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you'll spend forever with him in heaven. In this moment, he can change you like that. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in this moment, you can accept him. You can cry on him and cry out to him and ask him to save you. In this moment, I wonder, maybe you're a Christian who's been putting things off, or you've been brushing them off and saying, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens. And maybe in this moment, you just need to say, God, I surrender to you and I want to follow you in this moment. And I want to live in the moment. I want to live for you. What is it that God's telling you to do? What is he calling you to do? What does he want you to surrender to? We go through and we just wish things away, or we push things back in the past, and we're not stopping. And in the moment, Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Yet we worry and we think and we push things off and we get frustrated with the way our lives are going or not going. Why don't we just stop and live in the moment? James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The more I think, the older I've gotten, the more I think about this verse. It talks about the mist that's here. Our life is, it's here and it's gone. It's this vapor. The older I get, the more I think, man, it's here and it's gone. My health is here and it's gone. These moments that I talked about just a moment ago are here and they're gone. I set an hourglass up here earlier. And I turned it over, and many of you can see it, some of you cannot. I wish that you could, I'm sorry. I could have got a giant one, but that was just weird. So I got this hourglass that's been sitting here, and the sand is going down. I'll bring it up here so maybe we can see it. The sand's been going, and I got to thinking this week about not just hourglasses, that's just kind of a cool thing, but I was thinking about this topic and how our lives are kind of like this, and we got all this sand that's going, and a lot of times the sand that's fallen is the sand that we think about, all the things that have happened, all the stuff that's gone through, and the past accomplishments, and the problems, and the things, and we look back at some of that, and we're like, and we idolize some of that, of, oh, these were the great days, these were amazing, these were great times, this is what happened in my personal life, and we think about all those things, and then sometimes we focus so much on the sand that's up here, and we're going, I wonder how much sand is left. I wonder how many good times are left, how many experiences are left. I wonder how much time that I have to go out and to do things and to accomplish things. And the bottom line is we have no idea how much sand we have at the top in our life. Now you can see here, there's not much sand left. But in your life, in my life, you think, man, how much sand, how much time? And even there are times where we want to stop the sand. Just pause it for a second. Let me catch my breath. Let me get perspective. Let me just hold on. And we can't stop the time. We can't stop the flowing sand. And all this at the bottom, we can't get back. And so as we think here this morning, today, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What is it today that this in this moment you're here? You can't be happy where you're not. You can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't love people where you're not. In this moment, what if you stopped and just said, God, in this moment, I want your Holy Spirit to draw me to surrender to your way. That I don't know the things that you've done. And maybe you've done some really amazing things. I'm sure everyone in this room has, and people watching online. And I don't know how much time you have left. I wish I did, so that I could really tell you, look, you've only got this much time. But we don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so when you think about this idea that God is in control, that God wants you to live in the moment, then today, what is it today? Who can you love today? Who can you serve today? Who can you share Jesus with today? And in this moment, maybe you leave this service different than you walk in every other Sunday, because you stop and you think, I'm not going to live in the past, and I'm not going to think so much about the future, that, man, what's going to happen here, and what about this, what about that? But today, what could I say today to draw somebody to Jesus? What could I do today to help somebody else come to know him? Maybe you're sitting here going, I know the one thing that I need to do is to accept Jesus. Well, today, right now, today is the day of salvation. Surrender your heart and your life to him. This is a moment where we pause. And in this moment, we just, in a moment, say, God, I want you to do something in my heart and in my life. If you're a believer, what is it that you could surrender and say, God, in this moment, I don't want to live there and I don't want to live there. I want to surrender this moment now. I want to be used by you now, today. When I leave here, I'm going to send a text. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to make a visit. Go see somebody eye to eye. Say, hey, I need your forgiveness. Hey, I need you to hear this message of Jesus. Hey, I need to tell you about this God that changed my heart and changed my life. I wonder if we left and in the moments this week, we paused, and in every moment we were there. Don't miss what God has for you now, thinking about something different before or after or later. In this moment, what is it that God has for you? Don't get distracted. Don't get your heart preoccupied with other stuff. In this moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And what I want you to think about is surrendering fully, being fully present with Jesus. Jesus, I give you my everything. I want to serve you today and this week. God, I love you today, and I want to live and share and show your love to people in my life today. I can do that in this moment. I want to be happy today. I want to make the decision to not just be happy about the things that passed, or not just be dreaming about what's going to happen tomorrow, but in this moment, right now, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to love him, and I'm going to trust that he's going to guide me in what to say today. He's going to guide me in my actions today. He's going to show me where I need to go and what I need to do, and how I need to love a friend or a spouse or a parent, or how I need to use my influence for his glory. This is the day. Today is the day. In this moment, what could I do to follow him, to love him, to pursue him? Not later, not back when I was younger, but now. God, what do you have for me now?